Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about our children's lives, the story they bring with them, their soul journey, how they bless our lives, how they dance with our soul, and sometimes when they leave this earth much too early. With a loss of a child, we say, there must have been something wrong. I didn't do anything. I didn't do something right. Something didn't shake. Did I miss something? Is there something I should have done as parents? As doctors, they say, did I miss something? Is there something else there? What is it all about? And we're truly finding that we can't always find these answers or solutions or reasons to why our life takes the journey it does. It can be 2 days, 2 years, 10 years, 5 decades, and maybe even into our hundreds these days. We don't know our soul's path, nor its journey. We can just find little stones along the way, little pebbles, and maybe something that will say, maybe this is it. It makes me feel good. So what are really all the gems of our life all about? What is our story about? We don't really know. But today my guest is Debbie Sumner. Her book is Taming Josh's Dragon, A Mother's Tale of a Life Too Brief. And Debbie will be sharing the story of her son, Josh, who was taken so early, but also about all the life gems that he shared with her. Debbie, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, Dr. Jeanette, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Don't you think, Debbie, we think we always know the answers, but then we say, oh, now I'm in judgment. I don't know. I don't have the answers. And we fear both ways, don't you think, when we have children?
I believe so. I think the longer I live, the more I realize, no, I don't have the answers, and I'm waiting for Spirit to tell me what those answers might be. I don't have the answers to anything.
Yeah. You know, I think when we have a child, we believe that is our child, that is for us to take care of, and they are, you know, it's all about safety and security, comfort and love, and we do the best we possibly can. And then when a medical condition or a life event where something shows up, we go, oh, wow, what now, right?
Right, right. It's just, you adapt, and I found that I took one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, and appreciated the time with him, and I'm very grateful. I think he came also to teach not only me, but other people who touched his life.
Yeah. Well, your son Josh had complications from the beginning, correct?
Yes, yes. As soon as he was born, he had to go on a ventilator. Mm-hmm. So, and was shipped to Buffalo Children's Hospital a couple hours after birth, and was there until he was 4 months old, and had a lot going on during that time, again on a ventilator and in the NICU there. It was quite an experience. It just makes you appreciate life and, you know, how you have gratitude for how things are meant to be.
I think the idea that we command And we say to God, God, why did this happen? Why me? Yes. Why my child? And I think instantly the thing is what did I do wrong? Or I will sell my soul. Just show me where to check it out so that my child can be perfect and loved and cared for. I think we really go through that bartering process and really the anger, don't you think?
Oh, definitely we go through the barter process. When he transitioned and when he was ill, I didn't have anger, but I did, you know, let it be me, put me in his place. But I never had any anger. I had heard in the past that some parents are angry at the child and at God. And I mean, like any parent, you're just exhausted.
Everything shows up.
And yes. But you just can't barter. I've come to believe that this is the path that we both were meant to take. And I accept that and appreciate the time that I had with him.
But don't you think, Debbie, in that time frame, you almost feel angry at yourself that you did something wrong, you know? You know how doctors are. They'll say, well, what did you do? They'll take this long history. You know, we take it all the time about your past or your genetics or your ancestry. What did you do when you were in second grade on a Saturday at 4 o'clock, you know? And it's sort of like looking for the reason to peg it on something. Don't you think that sometimes we say, that we really, when we're in the process of having all of these life-changing events with children or even if elders or doesn't matter what age your child is at, we see it as, my gosh, I don't know what to do, and we need to be in the process. In other words, you're not supposed to have wisdom when your child is, just as your child, Josh, going through a transplant. Are you supposed to have wisdom then? No. You're supposed to feel it, you know, the core of it, know everything, you know the pain and the grief and the suffering. And I think later you have the wisdom or the retrospect, don't you think?
Oh, I think so, because you have the experience and there's time for calmness then. While you're in the middle of all this, you know, the illness and eventually the transplant, it's you just can't think straight. But afterwards, yes, I think you can figure it out. At least, you know, I speak from my own perspective, of course, but you can figure out what this is all about and why this has happened and how you're going to go from here.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. You know, after transplant, you just take it a day at a time because there are daily changes and you have to flow with the tide.
Yeah. And I think also, too, the idea is that if you are able to find someone to hold on to find someone to be able to carry you through, a spouse, a loved one, a family member, or a friend, sometimes that helps. But many times people will find themselves divorced, they will find themselves cast out by their family members, or they'll find themselves that their friends are just tired of hearing it. Don't you think sometimes when there is an illness or a sickness or disease or a life event challenge in the family, that it tends to put up a great wall with those around them?
I didn't experience that. I had some great friends and some great family members, and as they came to know Josh better, they loved him just as much as I did and saw the value in his personality and the way he behaved and carried himself with pride and dignity in spite of all the illness. But no, I didn't experience that at all.
Don't you think even children when they're ill, they still know of life. Do you know what I mean? You still see joy in them. You can feel it. Don't you think they emanate it sometimes?
Oh, I think so too. And I've seen children who are, they have a life-threatening disease and perhaps their life is going to be shortened, they seem mm-hmm. to know that. And yeah. they accomplish so much during that short lifetime. And Josh did the same. It's like they know they have to cram all this, these experiences into whatever, 5 years, 10 years, 15, whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's like they have, it's almost like they're on overdrive. You know, they've got this mission. It's specific. Get out of my way. I'm going to get it done, right?
Yes, that's true. And I think he was a teacher for many people. In fact, as part of Close to the Heart Transplant Support Group that I had for 20 years, I spoke to community groups. And after speaking to the Lions Club locally, I had probably five gentlemen come up to me afterwards in tears. And they were teachers, and they had Josh in class and mm-hmm. told me, I was so grateful to hear their wonderful words. But they noticed that he was strong and went on despite this disease and was kind and confident and treated people really well.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that about him or hadn't heard that about him, but more and more people will come up to me and say similar things, which I think it's just wonderful for a mom to hear.
Yeah, it's like their words are reflecting back to you his energy, you know what I mean? Like his soul or his vibrancy. Each time they share that, it really lights up something else up in you. And I think sometimes when we hear that, when children's lives are short, we say, oh, but they didn't get to get married or have children or I didn't get to go to their graduation or whatever. In essence,
right.
when children go earlier, they're really showing us the important things in life, like unconditional love, care and compassion, these really deep, deep aspects of life versus all of the other outside fluff, don't you think?
Oh, I do. And to hear, you know, those kinds of things from other people confirms what I already felt and I thought. And to hear that from them really confirmed, oh, I'm right. He was a special person and still is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the idea is that how do we settle our heart when we have a loss? How do we allow ourselves to feel that bleeding heart, so to speak? And I would always say to people is that they would say, my heart is broken. I would say that's absolutely fabulous because when it's broken, it can just pour out more love, you know, or it can receive love. Sometimes people
exactly. It opens up.
Receive it.
It
right.
opens
they
up.
Need to receive it, but they also need to be able to give it, right?
Right. It takes quite a while to be open to that, though. I know everybody is different, but it took me a couple right. years to even hear,
yeah,
to be open to living again, really.
Yeah.
It's a parent's worst nightmare, but through friends and family and just talking about him, it brought me back. And as I said in the book, I woke up in the middle of the night almost a year after he transitioned with these rhyming words in my mind, and that is the Ode to Josh, which is also in the book. And that helped me too. That was a healing to get the words out. And I think writing helps me. That's mm-hmm. one of my techniques to get through a tragedy.
Do you think,
and again,
you know,
it takes time.
I almost see it as a way is that children show us the cycle of life and death. and even the afterlife as their spirit and their soul, they show us that in such a quick amount of time. Like, if, you know, even with transplants, you know, someone has a loss to be able to give part of their being to another to live, that's like a very rapid soul kind of exchange and saying, oh, okay, I'm done with it. You can have it now and, you know, treasure my heart, treasure my eyes, treasure my liver, treasure whatever, you know. It's almost
yeah.
as if souls are interchanging in the ether saying, oh, can you have this? You can have this for a little while and this will make you feel better. It's almost as if they are so unconditionally giving it. I mean, like if I close my eyes, I just see these souls just handing their pieces to each other to be able to continue their lives. Don't you think sometimes that sense when you're in it, it's different, but when you can look at it in retrospect, you say, wow, life is eternal?
Oh, it is eternal. And I think souls at that point know that. They don't need organs or tissue any longer. And what greater gift can anyone get? We call it the gift of life. And yeah, souls are at that point where, hey, I don't need it. Mm-hmm. You'll be on the other side and you can donate too. Josh was able to donate his corneas, which is a wonderful gift.
Absolutely. And don't
yeah.
you think that that allows another soul to see? And that's so interesting you said about cornea, because an eye, cornea is a soul, the seat of the soul, you know.
Right.
You know, yeah. And it was like, wow, you know, I'm giving the gift of another soul.
Exactly. That's just such a wonderful, thoughtful gift. At the finality of the physical body, I want to do the same thing if I'm able to for someone else.
Yeah, we look at a lot of times with transplants, we say someone is very angry and they're mad at life, but then they eventually need a liver transplant and they say that they have been changed afterwards. They've been given peace or love or they're not angry anymore. Sometimes the organ or the sense of their disharmony that they were feeling inside seems to shift. It's almost as if I look at it as, you know, two souls putting their hand around each other, their shoulders, you know, and it kind of calms the next person to be able to have the courage to live forward. Don't you think that sometimes people need courage to live forward? If it's a parent after a loss or a child with a transplant, or it doesn't matter. It's like we all need that encouragement to live forward.
Oh, absolutely. You need that support. There's no way to go on without being supported by others.
Don't you think that the one gift that Josh really showed you was to love yourself and you'll be okay?
Exactly. What I wanted to mention also was I have heard there was a man in my group who received a liver, and he joked that afterwards he had he wanted to eat Cajun food because his donor was from Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
And
cool.
He joked about that, but I'm not sure if that was true or not. But since then, I have heard about cellular memory and people receiving organs or tissue from donors have memories of the donor. In fact, I read a book it was about a heart recipient had these visions of motorcycle accident, and she wanted to eat chicken wings, and she dug around and finally found that her donor was from a nearby state, was in a motorcycle accident and had chicken wings in his pocket when he had his accident and died. I mean, It's just so amazing. I think there is cellular memory, and I think you have cellular memory from previous lifetimes too.
Right.
But
right.
That just intrigues me.
Yeah. And I think also too, probably Josh sends you a lot of messages in your life where you call them deja vu or idiosyncrasies or the something that, oh, isn't that cool that happened, or it's
yes.
almost like a miracle kind of moment. I call them like life gem sparkle. It just shows up. It's like either a pebble or a feather, or it could be anything,
oh, yeah.
you know. And I even see it, you know, sometimes I'll be eating tortellini, and tortellini is a round shape, but sometimes they'll be shaped like hearts, and I'll go, oh, cool, you know. So I think the idea is, don't you think you see those a lot?
Oh, absolutely. And I've learned to pay attention to them. I'm sure I saw things before I was more awakened. But yeah, I ask him for a parking spot,
yeah.
and it works every time. Gosh, I need a parking spot. And we laugh. He gives me green lights. I say, thank you, Josh. You are so cool.
Yeah.
And yes, synchronicities. There are lots of those, and I think it's just beautiful to recognize those.
Yeah, I think that they are truly the gift of the heart, because it really allows you to just feel for 2 seconds that deep connection. Sometimes we
miss I'm it. Here. I'm here,
yeah.
he's saying.
Yeah, because sometimes you miss that connection, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, even at this point, I just want to talk to him, and then I tell myself, like, you silly, you can and you do.
Right, right, yeah. I mean, don't we all walk around the house talking to somebody, you know? It's I think it's a gift of the elders, I truly do. But I can honestly say you reach a point where you don't care, and you go around and you like, I'll be sitting down. Hold on. And I will constantly be smelling cigarette smoke, like there's a cigarette right underneath my nose. And that, of course, is not around, of course. And I'll say, oh, okay, you're here. Cool. And, you know, and you'll sit there and you'll have a conversation with somebody. But I think the idea is, do we allow ourselves to do it in our mind, or can we verbalize and vocalize it? I think both are quite acceptable, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do in my mind a lot, but then you have to have the out loud conversation. I was speaking to my brother who lives in Texas a few weeks ago, and I said, did you just light up a cigar? He said, yeah. How do you know? I said, I can smell it.
Yeah.
So we had that connection. But, yes, with people in spirit, I think we can communicate with all of them and take advice from them and, you know, get their opinion. What do you think about this? Should I do this?
Right.
And I have to admit, I do use a pendulum for answers, too.
Well, you know, and there's all kinds of energy ways, and I think it's kind of so cool, you know, because they will just plain show up. I know just yesterday, I don't know for what reason, but I just was feeling off for something. And I went outside like I do every day and take a picture of the sun. It's like this ritual that I do. At least one or two or three, sometimes, you know, 30 or 40. I've got over 50,000 pictures. But anyway, I clicked the sun yesterday, and I never look at it, the sun to take it. I just point my camera and click. And I came in the house and looked at it, and the sun and the clouds had created a sun that was a heart-shaped, and it had a line through it. And I said, oh, how cool. A heart with a line through it is unconditional love. And it was just, like, so cool. And it was like, oh, wow, that just, it's.
And that's what we're being sent.
Right.
I love that message.
And don't you think that it, sometimes when we say, I always feel a loss, you have to come to a point where you can say, I can feel the love instead of the loss.
Right, and the gratitude. I was in a group for a short time for bereaved parents. It was just too soon, I guess, and it was very difficult. I had to drop out. But I did tell this one woman who'd had a stillbirth, I said, I feel so bad you didn't get to know your son. And she said, well, I feel your loss is worse because you knew him longer. And that kind of set me back on my heels. I never thought of it that way. So I try to feel gratitude for the time that I had. What a gift. You know, it could have been when he was a week old. He very easily could have transitioned then. But he stayed and helped me. So he's just a phenomenal guy.
Well, I think that they also, too, doesn't matter when the time frame that we do have, but even with very young, as you said, stillborn, it's sometimes that soul said, you know what, wake up, and I'll come back later, and you might have another child. Or wake up, you need to pay attention. Or I'm here, come find me later. And then sometimes you find that the parent also passes on pretty quickly afterwards. So, I mean, we don't always know the story, the reason, or the rhyme about it.
Right.
But what we do know is that there's joy in the process.
Yes, and there's a reason. We may not know the reason, but I know there is a reason behind everything that happens.
Right. Yeah, I think Debbie, you know, when we're talking about this, it truly is about being, how can we continue to live after a loss? So many say, well, you took part of me with you. And I would say to so many is that, you know, they may have taken a part of you with them. However, it's up to you to grow even further inside with that loss. Don't you think that sometimes people feel very broken for decades?
Oh, I do. And I feel sad for them. I think they also leave a bigger part of them with us.
Right.
To learn from and to continue love. Yes, I feel bad for parents who just can't get past it. Don't change their child's room. Close it up. I like to share with friends, and they will say, do you remember when he said this or when he did that or whatever? What a huge part he has left with me and others. And you just have to appreciate that.
Yeah, it's about learning how to live regardless of our soul path or our soul journey, you know. I think it's sometimes we say, but this is what I'm supposed to do. Well, maybe you're not. Maybe you're supposed to have something that cuts your story short, or maybe something is supposed to change it and give you a few more challenges. You know, it's whatever it is, and it will be. I think, you know, Debbie, in closing, we always say, but why? And that why is almost like it just keeps dragging at us. And I would say to others that are having these experiences of grief or loss or of a child or anyone at any ages, is just to be able to say, okay, tell me more. And that will open a new chapter to your book, right?
Exactly. And I thought initially, what was I thinking when I signed this contract? But I had to honor that we did have that agreement, and I just have gratitude and appreciation for what that soul gave me.
Absolutely. Well, Debbie, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today to share your story. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about the book? That would be wonderful.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Do you have a website?
Yes, tamingjoshsdragon.com.
Very good. So, Debbie, I think it's such time to be able to say all will be well and to share your story. I think this book is a great book to be able to share with others who might be feeling very sad or having a lot of pain that is lasting a little bit longer, like maybe over a decade or so. And
yes.
Sometimes for those who just need to say, you know what, my life has changed. You know, I work a lot with end of life, and I just want to share this in closing, is that when you work with end of life, they are carrying many wounds of their own childhood or their own losses along the way, and they can't even come to full closure. So I think your story is truly for anyone. It's not really eclipsing a time in life or an event. It truly is about everyone finding more, you know, completeness of heart, yes?
I believe so, and I had hoped that I could help many different types of people, not just transplant or a death of a child,
right,
but to maybe give them some peace that there's more to it than what we actually see with our eyes. So God bless everybody. I appreciate your kind words about my book. It was very difficult to write, but I am glad that it's done and out there and perhaps can help other people.
Well, very good. And thank you so much for joining us today, Debbie. It was a pleasure to have you share your words and your life journey.
Oh, Dr. Jeanette, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate all your work.
Oh, you're so welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Debbie Sumner, again, her book is Taming Josh's Dragon, A Mother's Tale of a Life Too Brief. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website. It truly is about being able to say, where are we today? How do we see life? Can we still live our life with past loss or grief? Or we say that maybe I just don't know about my life today. I'm feeling broken. My heart just feels lost sometimes. Sometimes it's good to listen to other people's stories, to be able to share and engage in others' journeys, because it's not about us following them, holding on to them, or claiming them as our own ownership. It's that they are able to lighten something in us. They open a door, they provide a key, and then we are able to experience our life in all its own life and journey. We are able to live our own life with all of the joy and challenges and know that all will be well. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.